Can we celebrate God's servant? Can we do that lavishly?
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's celebrate Isaac. Marvelous, marvelous, marvelous work. Hallelujah. Please be seated. Our time is already gone. I'm just here to pray, just to add a little to what he has said and then speak over our lives. We bless God for your commitment. We remain committed. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. We are given a responsibility by God. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. So we have a responsibility to ensure that the bread of the Spirit is always available here. In the name of Jesus Christ, praise the name of the Lord. Have just maybe less than 20, 25 minutes, so I think I'll just build on what he has said. It is important for us to understand that the Word of God comes to build our understanding. While I sat there just listening to him teach, my prayer was that God will really help us to see the relevance of the things that he was teaching about, helping us to be kings and helping us to be priests. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, where he got, I believe, his text from, verse 10. We'll read 10 to 12. It says, we have been made unto our God kings and priests. And he says that we will reign in the earth. Go to verse 12. If it is true that we are kings and priests, there are seven spiritual realities that must find expression in our lives. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive for us, number one, power. Number two, riches. Number three, number four, number five, number six, number seven. Until these complete spiritual realities find expression in your life, something about your Christian experience will be missing. He touched on a few of them, but this is the concise list. The Lamb received for us. Please keep that scripture again. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He had to be slain to receive it. That was how far he went. To slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessings. So if it is true that you are a king and you are a priest, then we expect to watch all these things manifest in your life in reality. Now they will not manifest overnight. Like he did tell us, we will start activating our priesthood through the new birth experience. And then the ministry of the Spirit. Jesus would retreat away and spend time praying. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, when you read, Paul was teaching the church in Corinth and he brought a concept called the hidden wisdom of God. Is that true? He says, but we speak this among them that are mature, not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that tends to naught. He calls it the hidden wisdom of God, which God made for our glory. Every time we begin to pray in the Spirit, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God can search the mind of God and to reveal to us those things that have been freely given. We must grow to attain unto maturity in the Spirit. Many of us, respectfully speaking, we've been around church for a long time, but we continue to wallow in gross spiritual ignorance. We just know the ritual of coming to church, knowing Jesus. When they pray, you say amen. But there is hardly any substantial spiritual intelligence. building on what he has shared, I want to challenge you. It's time to grow. You must prophesy to yourself, it is time to grow. Are we together? It is time to grow. And the Bible lets us know, it doesn't leave us in the dark. When you are growing or when you grow, there are certain things that must be captured in your life. Many expressions of it in scripture. The first is Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. The Bible says Jesus increased. So growth must always come with increase. Increase in anything. When anything remains at the same level in your life, spiritually and otherwise, there is no growth. Jesus increased in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and with men. 1 Corinthians 13, it says, when I was a child, so it tells you, that should be verse, is that 7 or 8 now? Please look for it for me. When I was a child, I thought like a child. I spake like a child. Look up, please. Many of us, we need to culture our speaking. You can know whether a believer is attaining unto maturity or not because something begins to change in the way you speak. When I listen to believers speak, I know that many of them, in fact, the truth is that many of us, by the way we speak, we are not yet born again. No. If it's the power that raised Christ from the dead that came upon you and nothing has changed. You know, we live in a world where it is marketable and fashionable to be vulgar, to be careless. And many of us, as you're looking at me like this, it is still a template that you believe. You are coming to church, maybe you are even a walker, and yet your speaking betrays you. You ship anything from social media, ship anything from radio, TV, and you speak. Many of you, it is your speech that has driven favor away from you. When I was a child, I spoke very pungent, dishonoring, discoordinated communication. It makes it a risk to come close to you because of the way you speak. Is God speaking to us now? If it is true that you are a king, did you know that the Bible says where the word of a king is, there is power. Something for you to take home. Change your words. Change your speaking. Some of this ill speaking, careless speaking, anything that comes, you just speak. And you laugh and say, that's how I am. I'm expressing myself. What then is the excellency of coming to the faith life? Kings have a way they speak. Before they allow you to see the Queen of England or any king, there usually is a system of helping you understand the do's and don'ts when you get to the palace. You don't go and speak and say anything anyhow and say it doesn't matter. It does matter. So don't just claim royalty. Subscribe to the demands of royalty. And one of it is culture you're speaking. Is God giving us something to take home? If in addition to what he's shared, you carry this, it is enough deliverance for the week. Many of us need to work on our speech, our speaking, the pungency, the ill communication that comes out of your lips. It's not that which should come out of a Christian. Talk less royalty. Our environments have cultured us. And you know that your speech comes out of your heart. The abundance, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth. Hallelujah. So you must make up your mind. Don't just come and say, oh, Isaac taught us today to be kings and priests, and that's wonderful, I am a king. There must be evidences. When I was a child, your words are windows into your mindset, windows into your thought life. I can know the construct of your thinking by hearing you speak. Is that true? And no great person will want to partner with someone if you don't have the discipline to culture your words. Why should I trust you to have the discipline to handle weightier things in the kingdom? Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to speak like royalty. One more time, say in the name of Jesus, I receive grace to speak like royalty. Look up, please. Speaking like royalty is not just jumping around and saying, I am this, I am that. No, no, no. More than that. Culture yourself to be able to speak intelligently. The Bible says that your words be seasoned with salt, that it may minister grace to the hearers. If your words do not minister grace, then you are not speaking like royalty. Some of you, immediately after service, even to greet, you greet people as if it's a wicked spirit talking. And you are supposed to be a child of God. People avoid you because there is pungency that comes from your speech. I'm trying to be as pragmatic as possible from this discussion so that we don't carry some arbitrary thoughts with no point of application. You must go home with something. If it is true that you are royalty, start with your words. Start with your speaking. Good morning, sir. How are you? God bless you, sir. Now you are speaking like royalty. I beg, open that door for me. You see how you are talking? You act, listen. You act like that and expect kings to talk to you? Change! Don't say I was born in my bag. Don't allow yesterday to frustrate your tomorrow. Repent and change right now. Are we together? You must obtain grace to change right now. Stop, listen. Let me teach you something. Stop listening to some of these profitless things that you engage your mind in. Some of you submit your mind. Your mind is immersed in largely godless thoughts, from music to things you watch, and then you expect that your speaking will not resonate with what you have followed. No, there has to be constructive change in your life. If it is true that you are royalty, then it must affect your speaking. I spoke as a child. Next verse, please. Let me find somewhere to tie up. I just came to speak over your life. No. The initial verse, the initial chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, from verse 11 now, I think. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. Number two, I understood as a child. Number three, I thought as a child. But when I became mature, I became a man. I put what? What did the Bible call them? It didn't call them cultural things. It called them childish things. There are things you have to be willing to put aside. Seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, and then to run with perseverance the race that is set before us. For someone, you came to church tonight and God is speaking to you. It's time to lay aside childish things, childish arguments, childish discussions, childish attitudes. It's time to grow. Validate your being in church by producing fruits that befit a Christian. Hallelujah. I don't want to inconvenience you, but there are many other aspects. I want to be your friend this night. I just came late because if we are to dig into this issue of kings and priests, let me touch a bit on it. Kings dress well. Kings dress well. Kings dress well. Don't just clap. Listen. There is no madman who says I'm a madman. The first way you know a madman is by his behavior and by his apparel. Many of us, and I'm not a judgmental person, I'm quite a conservative person and quite liberal, but then let me tell you the truth. There are many of you, both male and female, don't even think I'm talking about ladies, or both male and female. I've seen some of you, the way that you dress and then the things you are asking that I should pray for you for. I already know that it's not even just, even if it's released from heaven, your personal, it will run away from you. Remember, I told you that what you are looking for is also looking for you, but not this version of you. Hold on. Please listen. I love you. I have a commitment to help you. From today, act like royalty. Iron your cloth. Don't say it is cheap. No. Don't dress and look like a thief. Dress and look like an irresponsible person just because you are coming to the house of God. No. Discipline yourself. Be careful the things you ship from around the world. You are a child of God. Are we together? Dress well. Look at yourself. Ask wise people to look at you. That's right. No. These are the implications of being royalty. And don't you say I should not talk to you about it. My son, he says, pay attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your heart. He says they are life to those who find them. Some of you, this is what you need to change in your life. Even if God gives you 1 million, you will spend it on riotous living and you will not invest in the things that are consistent with royalty. The shoe might be cheap, polish it. If you are leaving your hair, comb it, look nice, look smart. Don't look like somebody who is not going anywhere. And don't say it does not matter. Are we together? The liberty God has given us is not for licentiousness. We must obtain grace to be responsible people. Grace to be responsible people. And then let me tell you this. There is no king that sits on a throne who is dull. In fact, most kings justify their royalty through the excellency of their understanding. That means if it is true that you are royalty, it's time to re-edit your thinking, your concept, and be rich unto God, full of spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. That you know what to do. If it is true that you are royalty and you have been in church for a while, you should not be at a loss as to what to do about the matters of life, whether it's in your own life or that of others. Someone comes to you as a believer who has been around for a while. I'm trusting God for financial increase. You don't know what to tell the person. I'm trusting God to be free from demons. You say, go and listen to a message. That is wonderful. But when you who has listened to it, why don't you understand it and now be an interpreter of that thing? Everybody say spiritual understanding. Yes, sir. At this point in your life, it may not be fair to say you should know everything, but at least, if you don't know something about prayer, you should know something about giving. You should know something about relationships. You should know something about the dynamics of manifesting spiritual realities. You cannot be a blessing in ignorance. When they came to Solomon, they came to the king. Watch what happened. Two women, one, they slept on one another and then their children died and one exchanged, and they came to Solomon. It was a big issue. It was the first test of his being a king. The wisdom that he had access from God. Here's what he said. He said, bring me the sword. That sword is the word of God. The moment the word of God came in, because it is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Can I tell you? If you really want a life of beauty and color, please settle down with the word of God, and that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scripture. And the Bible says that it is able to make you wise unto salvation. Meditate on these things, he says. Give yourself wholly to them that your profiting may appear unto all. Man of God, it is time to justify the spiritual investments of God in your life by being someone with sufficient spiritual intelligence. No member will come and sit down and keep listening to you when you are not rich in the knowledge of Scripture. Can I tell you, people love you, but they love their destinies too. And no one will come and sit down and submit to you just wasting time shadow boxing, not having sufficient spiritual intelligence. I have taught you this. To the degree to which you are valuable, all men will seek for you. If it is true that you are a king and you are a priest, then you must defend that title and that position by high-level spiritual insight. High-level spiritual insight. That when you open your mouth to speak, you are speaking solutions to people's problems. When they come to you, they know that they will find the wisdom of God. I made up my mind that in the name of Jesus, I will continue to grow. Grow in power, grow in wisdom. All of these seven dimensions that Revelation chapter 5 and verse 12 captures. This will be the basis for our prayers tonight. You're going to look at this scripture carefully and find out which part of it is not at work in my life. For some of you, power is zero. Even demons know it. Power is zero. The sons of Sceva, for instance, you can have zero power, no spiritual power whatsoever. Spiritual power is generated from the place of prayer. Spiritual power is generated from the place of illumination and understanding. Power. Have you received power? Have you received riches? Isaac was sharing here. Some of you have deliberately rejected poverty. I mean, deliberately rejected the blessing of the Lord based on the guise of either a false teaching by well-intentioned people or just carelessness, not walking in keeping with the principles that guarantee the blessing of the Lord. It's time to receive riches and then to receive wisdom and then to receive strength. This strength here talks of capacity, the staying power, the ability to confront the vicissitudes of life without being beaten by them. It says, if you turn aside in the day of battle, your strength. Can I tell you, the world that we live in today will require men of stamina. That you will refuse to bend. People can insult you, but you stand true. Most of us do not have that strength and that stamina to endure until your blessings manifest. You need strength. Please keep it there. Strength. And then honor. I've taught you on honor. I told you you can respect yourself, but you cannot honor yourself. Honor is conferred upon you by another. What is honor? Honor means being rewarded to match your true worth. The perception and the reward that matches your true worth, Dishonor is the trivializing, downplaying, demeaning of your value and what you represent. Can I tell you this? You have to receive that grace for honor. There is such a grace for honor. And glory, glory, glory here talks of the excellence that comes with results. He said, O Lord our God, how excellent. From the word excel, to excel means to surpass ordinary standards. And blessing. You know by now what blessing is. Blessing is more than just having material things. Material things only come to honor the fact that you are carrying the blessing. The blessing works like a magnet, is a dimension of the operation of the Holy Spirit upon your life that attracts people, attracts opportunities, and attracts resources miraculously. When you carry the blessing, everything needed for life and godliness will gravitate towards you inevitably. Has someone learned something today? Listen. God sees my heart, my dear people, how that I desire to see us believers walk in superior levels of excellence and results. This is what God desires. Do you know the joy that will be in my heart to hear that someone comes to stand and testify here and say that I had a neighbor and I was sick and the neighbor told me that I'm a member of Koinonia. Apostle may not be here, but Jesus is here and I have been taught. Let me pray for you. It says they shall lay hands on the sick. I've taught you that the days of superstar Christianity is over. It's not all about the man of God. The man of God is a vessel to train others. Good leaders don't maintain followers. They turn followers to leaders and then leaders to agents of transformation. My greatest pride is not being a superstar. Apostle did this. No! That the truths you have heard, you take them and you go and do wonders with them to the glory of the name of Jesus. It is very, very painful for a leader when you invest your time and your energy and there is no growth always. When I see people rising, loving Jesus primarily, because in order of priority, my first and most important commitment to you is your spiritual growth and development. Nothing will ever replace that. Every other thing I teach is as an attachment to this foundation. No matter what else I teach you, forever, for as long as you are part of this vision, you can be sure that in order of priority, your spiritual growth and development remains my primary assignment. Your knowing God, your understanding His ways, your growth in prayer, according to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, the Bible says they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayer. Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, the apostle says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 9, it says that we grow in three dimensions. Number one, the knowledge of His will. Number two, wisdom. Number three, spiritual understanding. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. It says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. So you will continue to learn the dynamics of prayer. You will continue to understand the word of God. We will keep building you as far as knowing God is concerned. John 17 and verse 3, it says, this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. This is eternal life, that they may know you. But in addition to all of these things, can I tell you, the Bible says, according as His divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life, help me. That means I will not be negligent to also teach you these other aspects of the kingdom. That these seven realities, please keep it there. These are the things that redemption brought for us. Revelations 5 and 12. I will not emphasize one area. The first thing I will teach you, it's not the seven things. I will teach you about that lamb who was slain. That is the first person you need to know. You don't just know about what the lamb gave you. You need to know the lamb that was slain. In fact, you need to know that he's a lamb. Then you need to know that he was slain. Then you need to know what he has received for you. If all you know is what the lamb has received from you, your knowledge is not balanced. Worthy is the lamb that was slain. Was slain. I will keep learning myself as a man of God, because we remain students in the school of the Spirit. Paul, at the apex of his apostolic ministry, said that I may know him and the power. I may know him. This is how you know people who are passionate about God. They desire to know him. But let me tell you this, beloved people of God. Please be angry at your current level. Hate ignorance. Fight it. Fight it. I cannot continue to live my life this way. There is something I do not know. For some of you, your knowledge should start with an encounter. An encounter with the God of the Bible. Then you learn the principles. Principles are useless until encounters are in place. You have to know this. Encounters must precede principles. You encounter a person, then you learn the principles that now help you to relate with that kingdom and that system. We are going to pray. We have been made unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. I don't want you to fear death. I don't want you to fear the sound of destruction, because there is something that you know. The Bible says, look up please. It says, how does it put it now? It says, all things work together to them that love the Lord and to them who are the called. It talks of loving the Lord and number two, those who are the called. It takes knowledge. It takes knowledge. An heir, as long as he's a child, he differeth not from a slave, even though he be Lord of all. I am challenging you that your priesthood and your royalty depends on knowledge. The Bible says we are a chosen generation. He calls us a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. The Bible says that who have been called out of darkness to show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. The word praises there is the word doxazo, a display of the glory and the royalty of the king. That was what the king asked Vashti to come and do that she refused. He said, come and display my royalty. Let them know that I am king over 127 provinces. And she refused. For refusing to sing his praises, for refusing to display his excellence, she left the palace. It is my prayer for everyone here that no one will take your bishopric. Because you see, let me tell you this. When your life perpetually does not produce fruit that brings glory to the name of the Lord, he will prune you for a while. But after a while, I assure you, he may not throw you away, but he will carry your mandate and give another. It is consistent in scripture. God will not indefinitely forbear with your lack of results. Mm-mm. He will love you, but your bishopric, he will give another. That is why you see there are people who start their mandate with God, not capturing certain assignments, but later on in their lives and ministries, you will see some things added to them. It was taken from unfaithful people and given to faithful people. The parable of the talents. They took the talent from the one man. Who did they give it to? The one, he gave him five initially. Now he has 11. May God not replace you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father which is in heaven. John 15 and verse 8. Herein is our Father glorified. When we bear much fruit, he says, so shall we be your disciples. Verse 16. It says, you have not chosen me. 15:16, John. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. God is counting on us. And tonight we have learned that we are kings and we are priests. It's time for us to stay true. Go and listen to this message again. Stay true to your priesthood. The first port of call, as far as being a priest is concerned, is your salvation. It is true. Jesus said, I am the way. That way leads you to the truth. And that truth administers life. I am the way, the truth and the life. Then he says, no man cometh to the Father except by me. Then when you get saved, like he was teaching you, John chapter 3, now you go to verse 5 and he will tell you, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into that experience of the kingdom. You must be born of water and the Spirit. Water there talks of the ministry of the Word. The Spirit there talks of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Have you learned something tonight? I want to speak over your life, but we are going to pray for the next 2 or 3 minutes. You're going to cry to the God of heaven and tell him, Lord, I desire to manifest my priesthood. I desire to manifest royalty. Indeed, I desire to manifest my priesthood. For many of us, our prayer lives have gone down. Many of us are not spiritual. Remember what I taught you. There is no spirituality in our life. We still act carnal. We still act natural. In fact, it says the natural man does not receive anything from God, nor can he understand them, because the carnal man, because they are spiritually discerned. Many of us need to come out of carnality to be driven sensually, that there is no advantage. You are not tapping into the resources of the Spirit to live an excelling life. Don't be neither here nor there. You have to be determined that I want to walk with God. So you are going to pray, Lord, I am ready to be a priest and a king. Culture my words, culture my lifestyle, culture my understanding, my appreciation for spiritual things. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Open your mouth and pray. Shabranteke pakasubrahaske de belakotus. Embregete katapaka roske depad. Koinonia, are you praying? You are crying to the God of heaven. By the spirit of grace, I desire a rich spiritual life. I am first a priest unto God. A priest unto God, offering up sacrifices. Lord, grant me grace to perform my priestly duties, the duties of prayer, the duties of intercession, the duties of the secret place, the duties of the altar. I receive that grace. Go ahead and pray. Whether you are a businessman, whether you are a minister of the gospel, whether you are a career person, a family person, regardless the geography of your assignment, you are first a priest. Hallelujah. Please look up. There is a structure in scripture that makes for excelling in this realm. It's a tripartite structure. Number one, king. Number two, priest. Number three, prophet. It is a tripartite formation. All through scripture, when you see it, the synergy of the kingly dimension, the priestly dimension, and the prophetic dimension. Kings in ancient times, they reigned and they did well to the degree to which they were connected to priesthood. In fact, it was the priests who in many cases doubled as the prophets who ordained the kings. And the kings will have to still tap into the resources of the spirit as it came from the priests and the prophets. Don't lose that formation. Now by the spirit of God, you've been given the advantage of that duality. You are a priest. By the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you can connect to the realm of the Spirit, tap into the rich resources of heaven. The Bible says that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And it takes the Holy Spirit searching the mind of God to reveal those things to you. Eye has not seen, the Bible says. Ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of any man what God has in store for them that love him. It says, but he has revealed it unto us by his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Priesthood. It's time to fan back your prayer altar and pray with intelligence and pray with understanding. Don't just pray as a superstitious Christian. Pray as one who has regard and respect for the word. I have taught you this. Go and listen to the teachings. There are many other teachings along this line coming. The prayer ministry must be major in your life. You can pray amiss, Apostle James taught us. But you can pray with precision. The Bible says this is the confidence that we have, that when we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if it is true that he hears us, then we receive our petitions granted. Priesthood, the ministry of prayer, the ministry of the word. Granting you high level spiritual illumination. You cannot become a priest in ignorance. Jesus himself knew what to do. You have to know what to do on the matters that surround your life. First from a spiritual standpoint. Then wisdom. And all the dimensions that help you manifest your royalty. You need wisdom. Hallelujah. I am pounding on this issue of your spiritual life. Many believers pray. Many pray as a ritual because we're in a generation where there is a heightened appreciation of the ministry of prayer. Whether we're praying amiss or praying with accuracy, at least we pray. And that is commendable, hoping that God will fine-tune our approach to prayer. But when it has to do with spiritual intelligence, light, accurate spiritual illumination, being granted access to understanding, many believers are grossly deficient. The body of Christ is grossly deficient. We have lots of spiritual statements, Greek and Hebrew, matters that we communicate, but they are not methodically arranged to give us victory. I know something about ministry. I know something about prayer. I know something about angels. I know something about Greek and Hebrew words. The Bible says, let him that thinks he knoweth anything know that he does not know anything as he ought to know. So we must cry like Colossians 3:16 admonishes us, to let the word of Christ dwell in us in all richness and in all wisdom. It says, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The mountain of the Lord's house, according to the prophecy that was given Micah, it will be a house where knowledge will proceed. It says they will say, come, let us go to the house of the Lord, the mountain of Jacob, at the house of the Lord, and he will teach us his ways. He will teach us his ways. He will teach us his ways. Genesis 33, Exodus 33, and verse 13. Moses was crying unto God and he says, show me now thy way. Show me your way. I want to understand your precept. Then verse 18, five verses later, he now says, show me your glory. You cannot have his glory until you understand his ways. Are you ready to pray? Lord, I am ready in this season to open up my spirit for high level spiritual illumination. I am tired of ignorance. I am tired of shadow boxing, not having spiritual intelligence. Someone pray. Open your mouth and pray. The intelligence to be able to navigate my way around life and command the victory that befits royalty. Show me, O God, open down my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from out of your law. Someone is praying. Those following online, make sure you pray. We are asking the Lord to grant us illumination by the Spirit. Illumination by the Spirit. Illumination by the Spirit. Someone is praying. It says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. But I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. It says, you shall die like mere men and fall like one of these princes. Hallelujah. The last prayer point I'm going to give you, and then we'll wrap up for today. Please look up. The Bible spoke about a strange man in the Bible called Uzziah, who became a very prosperous and a mighty man. And the secret behind his might was that Uzziah set himself to seek the Lord. He says, and for as long as he sought the Lord made him to prosper. There is a relationship between seeking the Lord. Seeking the Lord is proof of humility. It's proof that you are incapacitated and you do not know enough. To seek the Lord. The psalmist said, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul. Many of us, your passion for God is going down. God is showing you in dreams. God has used the prophetic to show you. God has used experiences to show you. Something is going wrong with your spiritual life. Don't wait until it goes down to the point where you become a victim of any assault of darkness. Last prayer point. Fan my passion for you. Fan my passion for the house of God. Fan my passion for spiritual things. Someone lift your voice and cry to God. It is not compulsory, but if you are serious with God, cry to God from the depth of your heart. Fan the embers of my spiritual life. Fan it back to flames. Take away laxity and unseriousness from my life. It says, return to me and I will return to you. Is someone praying? Fan my passion for you. Fan my passion for your house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. That the house of the Lord would not be something you drag yourself to. And when you go and sit down, you're just waiting for service to end. So you go back. It's with delight. The psalmist said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your house. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you this. When your passion for the house of God goes down, I assure you that the platform for your growth has also been destroyed. It says, when I came into the sanctuary, then understood I. The house of God is a place of understanding. Hallelujah. When the devil wants to destroy you, he will make it look like a burden to come to the house of God. I am very touched and humbled when I hear that people from as early as 8, 9, 10 are already here and they sit patiently till the service, praying, studying their Bibles and not being distracted. Let me encourage you, God is no man's debtor. This God you see, he will visit you in a way that it will be evident to all. Are you learning? I just returned from a trip and then came here and I could see my people. They were just looking at me, and I'm sure that if they had their ways, they would just say, Apostle, you stretch yourself, please sleep. But even the devil knows that for as long as I am breathing, no. And it is not because God has made me head over this vision by the privilege of God's grace. It is my passion for the house of God. If you do not have passion for the house of God, I am telling you, it's an attack. You are either backsliding or it's an attack or both. You fight it. Passion for the house of God. Because you will get more than money there. In the house of God, you will find strength. They go from strength to strength. As many as appear before the Lord in Zion. Have you been edified tonight? So please go back and kill that laxity. Take responsibility over your spiritual life. Please understand that every time you appear before God, you are not doing God a favor. You are not doing a man of God a favor. I tell you sincerely, it is for your own benefit. Bishop David Oyedepo would tell us that everything command God gives man, it is entirely for his own benefit, not for God's benefit. Make up your mind, the house of God. Make up your mind to engage the word of God. Learn, sit down, be a student of scripture. Let your knowledge not just be Sunday after Sunday. You can go to the YouTube page, and there are so many teachings. Camp with them. You hear the testimonies of people here. They will tell you, I sat with this message. Some of you, if we give you a recommendation of teachings, listen to this, add this to it. Like a doctor's prescription, you usually would go, because we live in a generation where we want instant, sharp, sharp. Anything that is lasting is subject to the law of time. God wants you to be built. He doesn't want to throw you up so that you come back in shame. He wants to build you like an edifice. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare, every spirit fighting your spiritual growth, fighting your passion for the house of God, fighting anything God in your life, I command it to give way finally this night. I command it to give way finally this night. I command it to give way finally this night. Hear me? And any association around your life that makes God look like a burden and a luggage, either because of westernization or because some kind of deception of hell, I separate you from those associations. Some of you, the moment you lie down to pray, is the heat of the sun that wakes you. You don't have the sensitivity to wake up. Even when the Holy Spirit is beckoning on you, wake up. It doesn't have to be that there is danger. Waking up to pray is part of your spiritual growth routine. You must discipline yourself. Prayer is not about being passionate. You don't bath because you are always happy to do it. You don't eat just, there are times you don't even want to eat, but you have to eat for your health. He spake a parable that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Please kill that laxity. Don't say, Apostle spoke over my life, the demon will run away. Build stature, build power. In the secret place, there are many of us, easy things are still hard because you are still a child. Shake off certain limitations. Some spirits should not be disturbing you again. because of the excellency of the fire that emanates from your life. The same strategy Satan used in your life 2 years ago and defeated you hands down, he's still coming with it again, and you've not grown enough to detect it. Abba! The spirit of understanding, understanding of scripture, an understanding of the ways of God, in the name of Jesus, may it rest upon you now. High level spiritual understanding, I impart that grace upon you now. In the name of Jesus, I decree and declare the grace to fight ignorance, ignorance of the ways of God, ignorance of the mysteries of the kingdom. I declare that grace released upon you now. The grace that will allow the word of God transform you, transform your speaking, transform your lifestyle, transform your appearance, transform everything about your life. May that grace rest upon you now. And hear me, everywhere you have been living a defeated life, kings are known for excellence. There is an aura of victory always around them. There are kings who slay themselves when they find out that their kingdom, their treasures, everything has been taken. They literally kill themselves because they feel there is nothing there again. Can I tell you this? For any one of you who does not have the evidences around your life that should validate that you are a priest and a king, in the name of Jesus, I declare over you, may the Lord supply those evidences lavishly. Shame and reproach, I drive it far from your life. 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 In the name of Jesus, let the spirit of power rest upon you. Let the spirit of wisdom rest upon you. Let the spirit of might rest upon you. Let honor rest upon you. Let the grace for favor rest upon you. The grace that attracts resources, let it rest upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I'm saying it from the depth of my spirit. May this grace that makes for honor, let it rest upon you. May this grace that makes for favor, let it rest upon you. You are a distinguished people, and when you step out, everybody will know that you are Beulah and Hephzibah, like that garden that the Lord has blessed. Let there be results to your Christian experience. I forbid a frustrated Christian life. I'm not ashamed to bless you all wise. If you need a car, I release it in your life. If you need a house, I release it in your life. If you need a job, I release it to your life. In addition to your spiritual growth, I prophesy upon your life. Everything that will make you comfortable to serve the Lord, I stand upon this altar. I declare, may that grace rest upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. And for those of you here who are in ministry and you're not getting the kind of results you should get, in the name of Jesus, from this night, barrenness in ministry comes to an end. You have tried to open a door for a long time and that door has refused to open. I break that door now. Help them, please. I break that door now. Listen, a door is a system for access. It midwives one room and another. It midwives one dimension and another. When that system for access is closed, you can weary yourself at the door. I'm praying again. Every door that has refused to allow you go forward, I stand by the God of heaven. Let that door be broken now.
Receive it. I'm placing something on your life. May that door be broken now. Hear me. And for those of you who God gave opportunities and you misuse the opportunities, is there hope for a tree? I want to tell you that you are in a kingdom where God can restore. I prophesy to you in the name of Jesus, everything that left your life, either through carelessness or demonic attack or lack of discernment or abuse and misuse, by the prophetic, I call it forth to your life now. I call it back to your life now. Every troublemaker in your life, not allowing you sleep, not allowing you rise, who goes to your destiny helpers before you arrive there, manipulating them to reject you, in the name of Jesus, I cut you away from them. And everybody who asks you, where is the evidence of your being a Christian this week? May my God start answering them. Not next week, this week. May my God start answering them. Oh, may the mighty God arise for you. Arise for your children. Arise for your family. Let me pray for those in government, leaders and politicians in this house. I'm not ashamed to pray for you. I will pray for you in the name of Jesus. May my God distinguish you. I place an anointing upon you. May God distinguish you in a way that will surprise you. Captains of industry, may my God distinguish you. Businessmen, may God distinguish you. Career people, may God distinguish you. You will become strange men and women of influence. Whatever makes resources run away from you, I stand by the power of the prophetic and I declare over your life, anywhere your resources are, across the globe, not just in Nigeria, the wisdom, the favor, and the stamina to attract those resources, I decree and declare, receive the grace for it now. Everybody who came here from outside this state or from outside this nation, I stretch my hands to you in the name of Jesus. May the God of sudden visitations, the one who can give you a consolation for your sacrifice, may he visit you tonight. 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 Not tomorrow. Help that lady. Tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You hear me? I pray for our online family, all those connecting from diaspora, the thousands of people and potentially millions, whether you are watching by way of a rebroadcast, you are following live by television or by internet, I speak over your life. Receive it by faith wherever you are. May the Lord turn your life around. May the Lord change your story. May you know him more. May your Christian experience carry results. In the name of Jesus Christ. Final prayer. The kind of anointing that must rest on you and cause everything around you to blossom. It says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, parakatosh kadia, and then the wilderness shall be counted for a fruitful vine, and a fruitful vine for a forest. May that anointing rest upon you now. Grace for signs and wonders. Supernatural manifestations, exploits by the Spirit. Creation will answer to you. Everything will answer to you. Help that lady. Animate and inanimate things in the name of Jesus. Can I tell you this? Listen, I don't stand to brag before you, but I assure you by God, there is nothing I call that does not come. I stand by this grace and I declare everything you have called, and has refused to come, I push it by prophecy. He must obey your call. Opportunity, dimensions, resources, receive it in the name of Jesus. Wave your hands to Jesus. Give him praise. Father, we honor you and we thank you. Wave your hands to Jesus. From side to side, let him know that you have received. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says with thanksgiving, thank you, Jesus. You will return into a realm of strange testimonies. Some of you may not know what has come on your life. No, you didn't come to church with what is on you now. I assure you by God, no matter how anointed you are, I am telling you, what is on you now, you didn't come to church with it. You are carrying back something upon your life that you did not come to church with. In the name of Jesus. Please put your hands down. Thank you very much. You can give him a big, big hand clap. He's worthy of it. Hallelujah. Our first and primary assignment as the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ is to reveal Jesus and to lead his people to the cross. Please keep standing. We're wrapping up already. Let's minimize movement. We don't spend up to 2-3 minutes after this call. So let's minimize just running around. I know some of us, for justifiable reasons, we may need to move, but as much as possible, let it be a discipline that you hold yourself. It's not, if you've been here for a while, it doesn't take more than 2-3 minutes and we're done. Hallelujah. Please. It's part of the disciplines of spiritual maturity, except you have to. But there are many people who have come here tonight whilst listening to the previous session, and then the admonishments that I brought here and the prophetic declarations, the Holy Spirit began to speak to you, telling you that you need Jesus and you need to take serious your spiritual life. Now, it is not compulsory. Nobody can force you, but I beseech you by the mercies of God, let tonight not pass you by as far as making this eternal decision to make Jesus Lord of your life. There are two categories in one. I will call you quickly. Those who are handing their lives over to Jesus genuinely for the first time. And then those who are saying, Apostle, I remember making this decision, but I need a rededication. As it is right now, I'm not happy with my Christian life. My life has gone haywire. I've gone into all kinds of things and I need a rededication. Whether you are outside, you're in any of the overflows, you are inside here, I'm going to count 1 to 5. Please, wherever you are, there is no distance that is too far as receiving Jesus is concerned. Let's celebrate them as they begin to come. 1. I'm counting. Rush to Jesus. Don't sit back and assume that you are fine when you know the Holy Spirit is calling you. Come. Come. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He can give you a new beginning, I assure you. Thank you. Thank you. Koinonia, celebrate them. Let's encourage them as they come. It takes boldness to answer this decision. To answer this call. Let them come. I still believe there are a few more people. Come. We have a minute for you. Come to Jesus. Apostle, it's my first time here. Am I invited? You're most welcome. Come. Come to Jesus. Apostle, I've been here every service and I've watched people come out, but today he's convicting me. Is it too late? No. Come. It is never too late with Jesus. Come. I desire to come, but I don't know if I'm serious with God or not. You can come and have the assurance of salvation right now. Young and old, male, female, you're welcome. Hallelujah. And for those of you who are watching, you're saying, Apostle, can I be part of this? Absolutely. Right in your homes, your churches, wherever you are viewing from, he's giving you an opportunity right now to step into a functional relationship with Jesus, the Son of God. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, that he should not perish, but have life everlasting. He did not spare his Son for your sake. Now you respond in gratitude. Come.
I salute all of you who are here, all those who are in front of your LED screens, and those following from home. Listen, this is a noble decision. I don't want you to stand here feeling bad, stand here feeling ashamed. You are before Jesus, the Son of the Living God. It's like being called to come and receive an award, only that this surpasses every award you've got or you will ever get in your life. This matters to your life now and even to your life hereafter. Thank you for making this decision. Let me request that you raise your right hand as a sign of surrender to the God of heaven. Go ahead. Say this after me. Let it be loud and clear. You are not reciting a poem. I'm only guiding you. Jesus is here to administer that life. Say, Lord Jesus. One more time, say, Lord Jesus. Tonight, I have heard your word. And I declare that I need you. Right now, I ask you to forgive my sins. I ask you to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for my justification. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. I declare that Jesus is my Lord, my Savior, and my King. I declare that from today, I am a child of God, a recipient of eternal life. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen and amen. Keep your hands lifted. Father, we thank you. Thank you for these precious ones, young and old alike. You have brought them at the foot of the cross. They have made these declarations, and by the authority of scripture, I declare your sins forgiven. In the name of Jesus, I declare that God is giving you a new beginning. Let the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave be broken over your life. Now I commend you to God and even to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them that are sanctified. I commend you also to the ministry of the Spirit, that you be grounded and established in righteousness. In the name of Jesus, you will go from glory to glory. You will go from grace to grace, forward ever and backward never. In Jesus' name I pray. Let's celebrate them. Thank you very much. Now, please may I request just for a minute or two that all of you in front here just move to my right, which will be your left. There are counselors waving their hands, smiling at you. Please just move to my right and they'll have a word or two with you. Just get your information and you'll be back to your seat. Let's celebrate them. Let's celebrate them. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, just a very quick announcement. Our technical and sound department, those who are responsible for our sound and light, they are opening the doors for new members. There are many of you here in the house of God who have been praying for an opportunity to serve, but they are particularly looking for skilled people, those who are skilled in sound, light, and all the related areas. Please, if you are interested, you want to serve the Lord in that capacity, I want you to walk to the PR desk just outside here and you register your name and they'll guide you on what else to do. Have you been blessed tonight? Please rise up on your feet. Thank you very much. We have a dear friend and brother, Pastor Fred Zamani, House on the Rock, Zamfara. God bless you. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And now we also have the wife of the Olu of Wori. God bless you, Your Excellency. Thank you so much. Thank you. And blessings to everyone. May the Lord increase you in the name of Jesus Christ. Please remain prayerful and remain very serious with God. You can connect to Koinonia Global all through the week. You'll get reviews of all of these messages and our social media platforms, by the way. Everyone who is part of this vision should be actively involved in the social media platforms for your spiritual edification. Make sure that you connect to it, send it to your loved ones. This is not marketing a ministry. This is marketing and information that is important for your life and destiny. This week is a blessed one for you. Even as the Lord has declared over you, you will return with testimonies. Go from glory to glory and grace to grace. In the name of Jesus. After the grace, do well to greet one or two people, hug them and tell them you're a king and you're a priest. Hallelujah. Do remember to bring as many next week In as much as God is helping us, and I know that we've exhausted this facility inside and outside, but we still have a responsibility for in-gathering. So make sure that every week you invite as many. There are still so many people around this city and this nation who are in need of the power of God and His grace. Do not rob them of an opportunity to experience Jesus. The Lord bless you in Jesus' name. Father, thank you. Let us go in peace and return with joy. In Jesus' name I pray. The grace in fellowship, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, all the days of our lives, as we dwell in the house of the Lord, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you and see you on Sunday.
See that?